only is here my humble cry. Oh, why don't others how I do all in? Do not pass me by, my Lord and Savior, my Lord.
I'm a cry. That was wonderful. Brother, that was wonderful. That was good song leading that. It's the first time the brother's done it as well, yeah? May God bless you, brother. Hey. My, that was real wonderful stuff. Ha. When I was sitting in there, I thought the church was almost full. The way it was really good, bro. May the Lord bless the brother for that. That was wonderful. We do appreciate the Lord. Let's open our Bible, saints. Let's come to Matthew chapter 24. We'll just get a few thoughts here this evening as we do greet you in Jesus' name. Just to get a little bit of something to pray about this evening. I'm sure everybody's been seeing what's happening in the message around the world with Brother Donnie Reagan and things in the lateness of the hour. Saints, it's a serious time that we're living in. You know, and I really was just thinking of it so much. So I thought, let's speak a little bit and then get on to the principles of prayer and we see how the Lord leads us tonight. Let's read Matthew 24 from verse 37. Let's first see what the Lord Jesus Christ gives us a warning about. Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What is he saying? He's saying when Jesus came, in the days of Noah, as it was when he comes again, the vast majority of the people weren't ready for what was coming. Being unprepared. There's nothing that I could think of being worse than being in a condition at a crisis when you're not prepared. What else can make you feel panic or despair, hopelessness? More than that, when you get to a crisis, when something suddenly comes upon you, and you're not prepared for that situation. Let it not be like that with us saints. May the Lord grant us grace that he might really allow us to be careful. Let's also read Luke chapter 22, verse 53, just to get another scripture reading. Luke 22, 53. This is Jesus coming to his hour of crisis. He says, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour. And the power of darkness. So there comes a certain time where darkness is given authority over the word. And friends, we're heading into that hour. That's the junction of time that we're living in and how we need to be prepared. And may God grant us grace this evening. Let's all come to a time of prayer. Let's put ourselves before the Lord now. Let's not be in any hurry this evening. Whatever you need before the Lord, maybe you've had a battle during the day, whatever it would be, let's come and put our souls before the Lord before we come to the word. That the word might find a bedding ground in fertile soil. Let's come under the blood. Let's pray. Father, bringing ourselves before thee, Lord, upon this evening as your people, how we need thee, how we just want to call upon the name. Father, how we just want to bring ourselves before thee, even upon this. Overshadow us, Lord. Fellowship with us, Lord, I pray. As I look unto thee, I want to thank you, Father. You guide me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. Let's open one more scripture just before we get to the word here. Matthew chapter 26. Let's look again at the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples as he neared that juncture in his ministry. We know the different stages of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet says all ministries have three pulls. And as he was coming to that final stage now, when he was rejected and so forth, he says in verse 40, Matthew 26, when he was in Gethsemane, and he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we'll take it as our title this evening, just watch and pray. And that's a real exhortation that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving unto us. And no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation you're facing up to, no matter what situation comes inside of your life, I don't think you're going to ever find better advice but to watch and pray. He's not just saying pray, but he's saying watch and pray. Be watchful. Now, if somebody is watchful, and when Jesus was speaking of the days of Noah, the people weren't watchful. know, that had warnings, that had Enoch before that, that had Noah. You know, they had preachers of righteousness, that a sign that was given. They had different things take place. And God gave them those signs to try to put them in a condition of watchfulness. You know, there had been prophecy, there had been warning for 120 years that God was going to visit judgment upon the earth. And the people, anybody that was even half sincere inside of their souls, they should have been watchful. Because it was their lives, it was their souls at stake. It was the lives of their families at stake. So they should have been watchful. They should have stayed alert. They should have been vigilant. That's what that means. They should have been in a condition that things wouldn't take them unawares, wouldn't have just come upon them unexpectedly. But Jesus, whenever he speaks of the end time, how many times does he speak these kind of parables and scriptures and use these kind of shadows and types when he speaks of people being unawares, people being unprepared? So many times when he speaks, almost every time he speaks about his coming or the parables of his coming, he puts in there scriptures and examples and parables showing people not being ready. He gives the parable of the foolish virgin. We were speaking with some believers about it last night. He puts the foolish virgin, the wise and the foolish virgin. And the foolish virgin, the circumstances came upon them and they weren't prepared. They should have been prepared. They had the same opportunity as the wise virgin. They were associating in the same places. No, they had access to exactly the same resources as the wise virgin. But those foolish virgin, when that time came, that they should have been prepared, they weren't prepared. And then they thought at the time when the crisis came, let's now go and pray. Let's now get ourselves ready. But it was too late. They should have prepared themselves beforehand. And it's like that right throughout the scriptures. Yet Noah and his family, they lived in another dimension. No, they kept themselves in a certain spiritual condition, a channel, a dimension. They kept themselves in a place where there was divine reality. You see, the prophet, last night we had some believers from Northern Ireland. We had Brother Andre and them at our house. We had some good fellowship. And I was just saying about that message the prophet preached called Convinced and Then Concerned. And the prophet says the problem with people these days is we're not convinced enough. That's why we're not concerned. You know, God can do things. God can send whatever. God can be as gracious as God is gracious. But unless people allow the influence that God has given, being his word, being a message, whatsoever it is, to really, really take a hold inside of your life. It's very easy for a person to be half convinced, go out, and then not be concerned. But if you will allow the word, you have sufficient communion with the anointed word, especially in this hour, it'll make you concerned. You'll be convinced enough to be concerned. You'll be convinced enough to be concerned to make changes in your life. You'll be convinced enough to be concerned to change the way that you organize your day. Because you'll want to get up in the morning and you'll want to wait upon the Lord and you'll want Him to go before. Friends, it's such an example that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself gives us, because Jesus was always watchful. He was always watchful. And one of the most important things of, one of the most important ingredients of being watchful is to be prayerful. Now you cannot be watchful without being prayerful. If you don't have a prayer life, you're not being watchful. You know, no matter how much we know, no matter how much knowledge we can accumulate, there's something so important about prayer in the process of being watchful. To stay alert, to stay vigilant, to not be overcome, like Jesus said, by the drunkenness, the giddiness, the nausea of this age, of the deceitfulness of riches and all these things that he speaks about. The pressures of this life, the cares of this life. Look in Luke chapter 21. We know the scripture well, but let's just see the warning that Jesus gives once again when he speaks about the end time. You know, and it's really interesting if you go and read all the different scriptures that Jesus speaks about the end time. Because you'll notice he always gets back to the same theme. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, he says, "And take heed to yourselves. Be watchful over yourself." Amen. Saints, we need to assess our own spiritual condition. Use a spiritual thermometer on a regular basis to say, how am I doing spiritually? And be honest with yourself in the presence of God. He says, take heed to yourselves. lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That's eating too much the pleasures of this life, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. You see how he always warns and warns and warns. He's showing us that the condition at the end will be the vast majority of this world. That day, the most crucial day, the most vital day, the day of the Lord, the vast majority of people are going to be caught unawares. And friends, I'm sure you and I don't want to be in that number. Now we want to sing about the other number. I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. But friends, it's a life that you've got to live. In order to overcome the crises of life, in order to safely navigate through those times, that those junctures in time where darkness starts setting in over the human race, it takes a certain kind of a life that you've got to walk with God to safely navigate through those kind of times. It's not enough just once in a while to shake yourself. It needs a certain kind of approach. And Jesus calls that watchfulness. Watch and pray, lest that day come upon you unawares. Because he says it in verse 35. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. So it's like a snare, it's a trap. Something's been set for a certain time. And then in a certain time, the trap goes off. And it's a sudden event. And whatever's caught in the trap can't get itself free. There's a complete change in the circumstances of what is trapped. And then there's a panic, and then there's a fear, and then there's all the things that take place when you're trapped in a snare. And Jesus says there's a snare coming at the end time. There's a trap that's going to come, and it's going to be sudden. And he says it's going to come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. And then he speaks of it in verse 36. What is his counsel to us in that kind of time? He says, watch ye therefore, and pray always. Pray always. Paul says, be instant in prayer, continuing always thereunto in prayer. Friends, that is the secret of the saints, the spiritual saints of old, is that they had a prayer life. They were instant in prayer, continual in prayer, watchful in prayer. The devil doesn't get much opportunity in your life if you're much in prayer. There's very little room for the devil to ambush you if you stay in the spirit of prayer. Because the Bible says the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. You know, the Lord will reveal those things to you even before you get there. When you're prayerful, when you prayed up that uneasiness inside of your soul, when you know that you're heading into something, there seems to be danger ahead. That same instinct that's in nature. The prophet says that divine instinct, that warning that God puts in nature, that when the earthquake's about to come, the animals flee for safety. You know, it's the same kind of a thing that if you're prayerful, you'll be in tune. The same way that the birds and the cattle and those are in tune, that even before the disaster comes, they're not taken unawares. Yet it's such a, what can you say, it's such a indictment on the human race, how far we've fallen, is that man is supposed to be the climax of God's creation. We're supposed to be teaching nature. But when the great earthquake came, when the great tsunami came, it was nature that was teaching the people. When they went to that island after the great tsunami 2 years ago, and they went to that island with the helicopters expecting everyone to be dead on that island, a remote island. And they got there and they found everyone was alive. And they said, but how did you survive when so many others, 250,000 other people died? They said, the ground shook and we saw all the animals going uphill, even the insects going uphill, so we thought you better follow them. He says, we followed them up the hill and then the tsunami came and destroyed our village. He says, but you're already up the hill. Because nature's still in tune. Nature still knows to be watchful, to follow the divinely put whatever apparatus that God has put inside of their soul, inside of their spirit. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ, he always speaks, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, the further on we go in this age, friends, the closer that we're getting to the end, there's more and more pressure that it becomes, harder and harder to pray. The environment, the atmosphere, the conditions, the way we have to work, the pressures of time, the pressures of this life. In those days gone by, the old timers had plenty of time when they could pray. But how much time do we have to pray now? How much time do we have in our lifestyle that we can meditate upon the word? That we can be still and know that he's God? Friends, unless you're very disciplined in your timetable, unless you're very determined to be watchful inside of your life, it's very easy to allow one day to pass into the next, and that day to hurry by into the next, and you get to day after day and day after day, then you ask yourself, when is the last time I was watchful and was in prayer? And when you're not in prayer and you're not watchful, that's when you blunder into circumstances, traps that the devil sets for you. Remember that time when the angel of the Lord spoke to the prophet and said, come up, come, leave Brother Sothman, come into the woods, I want to speak to you. And he went into the woods, and then the angel of the Lord told him, be careful, there's a trap set for you. And the prophet went down, then that boy and girl were kissing, and the prophet says, I remembered the warning of the Holy Ghost. Is it not wonderful to be like that? That you don't just blunder into situations. You don't just come into something unawares. Because God always wants to prepare his people before they get into these kind of circumstances. The days of Noah was a proof. The days of Lot was the proof. All the times in the Bible you find God always wants to minister his people into a place of safety before the time of danger comes. God doesn't want his children to be taken unawares. But we've got to respond. We've got the part that we've got to play. He'll do everything that he can. But one vital part, we've got to watch and pray. Now Jesus spoke, we read the scripture saying, you know, I was speaking to Brother Thomas the other night about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as it came near the end, and the council now, they plotted against him. You know, and Brother Ram takes it in the message, what shall I do with this Jesus called Christ? And he says, it's exactly the same as now. He says that the way that they crucified Jesus, put him to public shame then, he says the time now for the crucifixion of the independent churches is at hand. Amen. You know, because the word now is in the body of Christ now. It's not just in Jesus. Amen. The word is in the body, but the same things are going to happen at the end. You know, I just got it from Brother Oliver yesterday. He sent it to me about, I was saying about Brother Donnie Reagan. I don't know if many saints saw that. But Brother Donnie had been preaching and quoting things from the prophet about mixed marriage and things like that. And then some Judas sent it to the news agencies. Just took that clipping. And now it came on the Australian news and all over the world. And it came to millions and millions of people seeing it. And Donnie Reagan's now being called the greatest racialist preacher in the world and different things. And friends, when I saw it yesterday, I said, that's another step closer to the squeeze. There's so many of these things now taking place in the message. Things coming on the news. Brother Collins' grandson there in Jeffersonville coming on the news and having defected from the message last year or the year before and coming and bringing all the dirty linen in public. And then the news channels going investigating the message. Friends, we're moving into that cycle now. We're moving into that phase of time. But it's in the hands of God. The devil can't do anything to the children of God until God's appointed time. So many times they try to take Jesus and cast him off the brow of the hill, and they try to trap him in many, many circumstances, many different ways. But it wasn't yet his hour. It wasn't yet the hour for that. But when the hour came now, which he calls, this is your hour. He says, and the power of darkness. That power of darkness had been unable to get a hold of him before that. That power of darkness had been unable to manifest itself in a way that it could lay hold upon him. But now came the season where the anointed word was given over for a season into the hands of the powers of darkness. And darkness now was manifest and had jurisdiction. And the churches came together, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and them, and they formed their council and they plotted against Jesus. Then they took him. They humiliated him. They spat on him. They beat him. Then they handed him over to the Romans. They handed him over to the political system of the day and they put him to death. And we know that was the very last thing that happened in the Jewish dispensation, was what they did to Christ at that time. But what really interested me when you have a look at that is that Jesus, let's have a look how he prepared himself for that. Now, you would have thought Jesus being the perfect virgin-born Son of God, you would have thought that Jesus being the anointed Word, there was no spot, wrinkle, or blemish in him. Would have thought Jesus, who was continually walking in that dimension with God. He was always watchful. He knew exactly what was coming. He would tell his disciples continually on the way to Jerusalem things that were going to take place. He says, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem to be delivered up into the hands of sinful men. And they will smite him. And they will, you know, whatever they'll do, and they'll put him to death. And he'll rise again on the third day. So Jesus knew exactly what was coming. But still Jesus wasn't fully prepared. Because it wasn't just catching the revelation and being anointed to see and to understand what was coming. Jesus had to pass through Gethsemane to be prepared by prayer. Prayer was a vital part of his preparation. And Jesus wouldn't enter into that great conflict. No matter how much he fellowshipped with his disciples about it, no matter how much he would know exactly the hour and the season and the time that they were living in, but Jesus would never enter into a conflict like that without prayer. And that's why he went via Gethsemane to pray. Listen what the prophet says in the Message Absolute. I've read it many times, but he says, every man in the Bible, no exceptions, that ever had a spiritual office, if Satan couldn't get them on morals or something, the government caught them. You see, it always ends up like that. It always ends up the jurisdiction of darkness. Because you know that the political systems, they're not governed by the Holy Ghost. Although we must pray for our government, that's what the Bible says. Paul said we must obey the government, must pay our taxes, obey the speed limits. We should never cheat on anything to do with the government. That's what the scripture says. But there comes a season now when God wants to get certain things manifest that he allows the powers of darkness to take jurisdiction even over his children. As it was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was the government that got them. The laws of the government got them and put them into the fiery furnace. In the days of Daniel, it was the laws of the government that got Daniel and caused him to be thrown into the lion's den. The prophet says, if you can't get you on morals and so forth, it's the government that gets you every time. He says, go right back anywhere you want to all the way down. Moses, it was the government, it was Pharaoh. Daniel, the Hebrew children, John the Baptist, he's put to death by the government. He says, Jesus Christ died by the government, capital punishment. Paul, it was the Romans. Peter, it was the Romans. James the Great, James the Less. Every one of them died under the government. Because every government is the seat of Satan. Jesus said so. Every government is controlled by the devil. And there comes a season now where nothing can touch you. As it was in the book of Job, nothing can touch you without divine permission. But there comes a certain season, and the prophet says the squeeze will come and so forth, that he allows darkness to come. He allows darkness to have the jurisdiction. And that's what Jesus was warning about continually when he says, watch and pray. Let not that time come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. But the wonderful thing that he told his disciples as well, he told them, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. He says, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Amen. That's the thing which I really love. You know, when the Lord allows those things to come, look what happened. When Jesus was committed into the hands of the powers of darkness, it brought forth full redemption. It brought forth the resurrection. It brought forth the rapture of the saints, the Old Testament saints. That's what it brought forth. That was the final thing that came just before the great earthquake came when Christ was on the cross, before the graves were opened, before the dead Old Testament saints came out and were seen walking in Jerusalem. But there has to come that kind of a time. And friends, I'm sure that you agree with me. Things are changing and they're changing fast. You can sense it in your soul. You can sense it. God has the timetable in his own keeping. This is in his hands, but you can see we step by step moving closer and closer to that time When the prophet says they'll close the independent churches. He says you'll come to church one day and they'll be closed on the door and you'll have to worship in other places, he says. How many times did he warn about it? He said it time and time again. And friends, now you can see the possibility. Because the message has been like underground for all these years. But now the nations of the earth are starting to pay attention. And with many of the scandals and things, like in Zimbabwe, the great scandal that was there, what happened? The police were in all of the message churches, taking notes, policemen in every church. It gets that kind of a time. It doesn't take much to trigger it off, to bring a squeeze. But to everything, there's a time and a season. God has his appointed time. And the thing that God does to hold it back, he wants to hold it back. What for? Until his people are prepared. Because God doesn't want his people entering into that kind of a circumstance, not being prepared. And you'll find that with Jesus as well. Look in Revelation 3 verse 10. What does Jesus call this hour that we're living? Revelation 3 verse 10. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. And the prophet says in the church ages, it says, here we see the overlapping of the last two church ages. For this promise has to do with the end of the Gentile period, which culminates in the great tribulation. And friends, God, in his great wisdom, he has placed us here in the hour of temptation. As we see the hour of temptation coming in, as we see the pressure building, as we see the laws and the nations rejecting the word and legislating against the word and the things that are taking place, until it's going to be a criminal offense to be a real believer one of these days. Friend, the noose is tightening. As a snare shall it come upon all the earth and no one's going to escape. But Christ is going to have a way for his people that we've got to watch and pray so that day doesn't come upon us and take us unawares. Nothing ever took Jesus by surprise. He was the anointed word. He knew what was coming. And friends, if you stay in the message, nothing will take you unawares. You'll know what's coming. We know what's coming next. We know it's not going to be a sweeping revival and all the nations are going to come to Christ and stuff. That's not the age that we're living in. We're living right at the end. It's the gleanings of the harvest. That's what it is. We're entering into the time now of the public crucifixion of the word. Once again, the prophet says, the word's going to be hung already. We see the word being hung to a public shame. I said it at Brother Tommy's. I said, people spit in the face of the scriptures, calling themselves Christians. You'll show them the word, but they spit in the face and they reject the word. That's exactly the same as what they did to the word when he was flesh. They rejected him and they spat in his face. They plucked out his beard. They beat him with rods. They joked and mocked him and said, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. It's exactly the same as in this day. People wanted to criticize the message and say those prophecies will never come to pass and so forth. You've got to be careful, friends. And like I said, who was the one that led the council to Jesus? It was a message believer. It was Judas. It was someone that was a message believer. And what did Jesus say about him? Woe unto that man. It was better that he was never born. And friends, these same kinds of defectors from the message now want to spread all the secrets of the message out there. Woe unto them. It's better they weren't born, Jesus said. It's better that you weren't born rather than you sell out the truth for 30 pieces of silver. You don't want to do that, friends. It's better just to be watchful, to watch and pray, stay close to him in these kind of times. So now, Jesus coming to the end now, into this hour of darkness, he said to his disciples, we need to go to Gethsemane. Now, Gethsemane was necessary not only for the disciples, but it was necessary for Jesus. Because there was conditions coming and neither Jesus yet was fully prepared, neither were the disciples prepared for what was coming. So what did Jesus do? He took them to prayer. He took them to Gethsemane. He took them to that place, right on the verge of the storm, when the storm clouds were brewing, right as the winds of the great tempest of persecution were already starting to blow. What did Jesus do? I love it so much how he went to the place that he always went to. You know, Jesus didn't panic and say, but I've got to get into prayer. He just did what he was used to doing, but he just did it more earnestly at that time. And that's what it's got to be, saints. You don't want to be when you're getting right to the crisis, that all of a sudden you're trying to find your way to the throne of grace. You don't want to be living that kind of a life in these kind of times. You want to be living with near access to the throne of grace all the time. So that when the crisis comes, you just have to put yourself in the next gear and you just take advantage of the access that you already have. But that needs watchfulness and that needs prayer. That needs a certain kind of a life that a person lives. That's not a weekend sort of Christianity. That's a day by day overcoming and living with Christ. That's the preparation for what's to come. We don't need sometimes the great things the prophet says. It says those that have been faithful in these little things, when that time comes, they'll catch it. That anointing, the third pull, will quicken them through that crisis. But he says, but if you haven't been faithful in the little things, it'll go right over your head as sure as the world. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't do something new. When the greatest crisis of his life was at hand, that very evening, he went to the place that he always went. He went to the place for the sweet hour of prayer. Because he knew he had many times found. What does the song say, Brother George? That brings me, what? Yeah. That's such a wonderful song. We'll sing it afterwards by the grace of God. It's a real nice song. So look, Luke 22, verse 39. Let's read that sentence before we come to pray. Amen. Listen how it says it. Thanks, bro. Just when you get there, thanks, bro. It's a sweet hour of prayer. I like it says here. It says, in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Friends, he knew where to go. He knew where his refuge was. He knew where grace was to overcome that condition. That was the place that he went habitually. That was where he went every time the seasons of grief came. And it says, sweet hour of prayer, the joy I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. And that's what Jesus said. Let's sing a psalm. They did that straight from the Lord's Supper, straight across the Brook Kidron, and there they went to Gethsemane. And I'm sure Jesus had his olive tree there. I'm sure he had that spot in that place that had been sanctified by his prayers, sanctified by his tears. Our friends, it's lovely to have those places. The prophet says, I've got my cave. He says, even the FBI couldn't find me there. Friends, everybody needs a cave. Your own cave, it may be your bedroom, it may be whatever. But you got to have that secret place where your soul has often found relief and has oft escaped the tempter's prayer. And as you're entering now into those seasons of crisis, as the challenge is upon you, if sickness strikes the home, misfortune strikes you at the job, whatever it is, friends, you don't panic. Your heart burns with strong desire for his return. And you take yourself back to that place that's been sanctified, where oft you've seen your Father's face. And you found a relief through the sweet hour of prayer. Oh, friends, once a believer knows the way to the throne, doesn't matter where you put them in this life. Let somebody once find their way to the throne of grace. Let somebody find help to need and help in time of need, like the Bible says. Let somebody break through into that dimension once. Put them anywhere in the world. No matter what the devil does, they know the way. They know the way to the mercy seat. Luke 22, verse 39. It says, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him. We want to follow him tonight as well. We want to follow him tomorrow. We want to follow him every day. We want to do exactly what he did when he came to his crisis. Should this not be the way that we handle our crisis? When the hour of darkness came, what happened? The disciples followed Jesus. And when this darkness is coming upon this age and gross darkness is pressing in, let's follow his example. Let's use the same weapons that he used. Let's use the same tactics that the great master used before us to prevail and overcome in the greatest battle that he had to face up to. It says he went as he was wont, as he was used to, as he normally did. And friends, that's why, look, they asked the prophet the question in the seals. They said, should evangelists continue on the field? Because people thought the end has come. He says, certainly by all means, don't change anything. To a genuine believer, even if the squeeze is coming upon you, even if there's a crisis, you don't change anything. You just gird up your loins a little bit tighter. You just pray with a little bit more earnestness, but you do what you've always done. Because the same weapons, the same tactics, the same grace that has delivered you and brought you to where you are now is the same grace and the same delivering power that's going to take you all the way through to the end. You just use the same tactics, the same weapons. That's exactly what Jesus did. The prophet says, don't change a thing. If Jesus is coming in the morning, preach today like it was going to be 10 years from now. But live like it's going to be this hour. That's being watchful. Living like it's going to be now. He can come anytime. Be watchful. Watch and pray. He says, don't get scrupled up now. That's what I'm trying to warn you about. Don't change nothing. But if you're doing something wrong or doing evil, repent, see, and come back to God. But continue on your evangelistic service just as you always did. If you're building a house, put it on up. If Jesus comes tomorrow, you'll be found faithful in the line of duty. And that's what you want to be. You say, Brother Branham, if he was to come this morning, shouldn't you be out there? No, sir. This is my post of duty. I'll be standing right here preaching when he comes, saying the same things that I am. Then when he comes, I'll just move right on out with him. Amen. The prophet was so balanced, friends. But the prophet realized it's got to be a Christian walk. It's got to be a daily walk with him. It's got to be walking side by side with him. And that is the way that you prepare for any crisis, is that kind of a life that you live. Because whatever God has ordained your feet to go through, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. God will never put something upon you that you're not able to bear. But God will always prepare you for what's to come. He'll always warn you. He'll always condition you. If you'll just be watchful and prayerful, it'll never take you unawares. So let's come to a close. Matthew chapter 20. In fact, skip Matthew chapter 20. Let's go a little bit further on. We'll just go to our Gethsemane scripture once again. Matthew 26. Look what he says in Matthew 26 verse 31. The word is warning them that very night. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. There's going to come things in this message that are going to bring an offense, friends. There's going to be things happen to believers. There's going to be things that happen, persecutions, whatsoever God has ordained to be. That if you're not watchful and prayerful, it's going to greatly offend you just as much as the disciples were offended. Because they weren't in the same dimension and channel as Jesus was. So when the things came, they were sleeping. When Judas came with those soldiers and the high priest and all of them, the disciples were asleep. And the disciples woke up and the crisis was on them. But it wasn't like that with Jesus. Jesus had been in prayer 3 times. Because the first time he went to pray, he didn't get the relief that he needed. He didn't get the divine response for his prayer. He didn't break through into that place where he could cast his cares upon the Lord. He didn't come to that place that he could face up to the crisis in the condition with the calmness of soul, knowing that all is well, that my Father has gone before. So he came to his disciples after praying the first time. He came to Peter, James, and John, who he took, and said, can you not watch with me for 1 hour? Then he went back a second time to pray. And the Bible says that being in an agony, he prayed. Because he knew the crisis is here, but I'm not yet prepared. Think about it, friends. Amen. He was the message made flesh. Amen. He knew all the message. He was the message. Hallelujah. But that wasn't enough. He was anointed, but it wasn't enough. He was the Christ. It needed prayer. Amen. It needed prayer to bring his own will surrendered before the throne of God. He needed to come to that place that he overcame himself. So that he could enter into whatsoever it was, saying, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's where the battle came in. And the second time he prayed, still he couldn't, and an angel came and strengthened him. Then he went back to his disciples, and they were still asleep. And he said to them, watch and pray, because your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. You know the word. I've been telling you what's about to come. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. It's going to offend you. This is going to cause you to stumble. I've been trying to tell you about it. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Friends, it was a serious thing for those disciples. Because at that time, they weren't yet the word. They hadn't gone through Pentecost. They hadn't gone through the new birth. They never had come to their adoption yet. But Jesus was the word. Amen. That's why he could get himself into that gear and go into that circumstance and that situation fully equipped. Though it was the greatest battle anybody could ever dream of going through, what the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through. But how much more with us in this age? He's going to warn us, friends. The Holy Ghost is going to draw near to you. He's going to be persuading. He's going to be saying, get up early in the morning. Listen to that message. Get on your knees in prayer. Shut yourself in at lunchtime at work. He's going to be warning you. Because whenever you get a crisis in life, trace back. You'll see God try to prepare you for it. But if it took you unawares, many times you didn't hear his voice. You didn't allow yourself to be convinced enough until you became concerned. Until you entered into that channel that Noah entered into. And he stayed in that channel for 120 years. Divine reality of a judgment that was to come. 120 years down the way. Friends, the Bible says Noah walked with God. That was the key. That's how when the crisis came, he just made sure that everything was the way that God told him. He must have gone and hammered some of those nails a second, third time to make sure everything was right. That was his responsibility to make sure that was right. But it was God's responsibility to shut him in. And that's all that he had to do. So Jesus, now having warned them, he says, I need to take them to prayer. I've preached to them. I've told them the word. They know exactly what's to come. But they're not prepared. We need to go through Gethsemane. And he took them down there through Gethsemane. So we can see just how important in this whole process, friends, in these critical prophetic junctions in time, how important prayer really is. And it's good, the prayer that you pray together with believers, but friends, it's your private prayer. Amen. It's your secret closet. Amen. The angel of the Lord went down there into that little room and told the prophet, I'll meet you there. And the prophet says, I don't understand. And then the angel of the Lord says, did not our Lord say, when you pray, enter into the secret closet. Amen. Friends, that's the place of preparation. That is God's grounds of preparing his people for whatsoever it is that's to come. Whatever he's ordained your footsteps to enter into, the valleys, the crises, the battles, the wars, the afflictions, the misfortunes, prepare yourself with prayer. Be prepared with prayer. And then you're following as a disciple in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, Jesus got up off his face. He had prayed through. And now he was calm. His body had sweated blood. His body was tired. There was sweat. There was blood. There must have been spittle on his beard from the way that he was praying. The tears had bathed the ground where he had been agonizing in prayer. But inside of his soul now, he was ready for the conflict. The battle had already been won. The prophet says, Gethsemane was the real battleground. Now he went to the cross and he submitted himself to whatsoever it was that he was ordained to go through, because the battle had been won in Gethsemane. And friends, we all have our Gethsemanes. We all have those seasons in our lives, those crossroads, all of those junctions where darkness is given jurisdiction to manifest itself in our lives, in our circumstances, in our families. In those hours of darkness, those kind of seasons, friends, we need to move into the gear of prayer. We need to get ourselves before the throne of grace. We need to make supplications to heaven. Now, I'll finish with a statement. Prayer doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be. But many times we have to pray for a long time before we're actually praying. That's the thing. Sometimes you'll have to pray 30 minutes before you're praying. Because you're saying a lot of words, but your mind is thinking about work. Your mind is thinking, I forgot to get the duty roster. Your mind is thinking, oh, I wonder if I locked the car. Your mind is thinking those kind of things. But once you really get into that place where you're moving into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, you don't have to pray for long. Once you're at the throne of grace, many of the most powerful prayers in the Bible, look at Eliezer. He didn't pray long at the well. He prayed within himself. And God answered immediately, and Rebekah came and watered his camels. But look at the walk he had been walking before that. You see, he was prayerful all the way. So when the crisis came, he had access to the throne of grace. Look at Joshua when he spoke to the sun. He didn't have to go and get behind the rock and pray through. He had access to God in the crucial hour, the prophet said. Because he was walking in the line of duty. He was living in that kind of a place. That's how when the crisis came, he could just say, sun, stand still, and not even think what he was saying. And God hearkened to the voice of a man. Is that not the key, friends, to overcoming whatsoever it is that comes upon this age? Should we not be seeking to live that kind of a life on a daily basis, a prayer life, a prayerful life? That's why Jesus said, watch and pray. In another scripture, it says, what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. That was the word. Let's be watchful, friends. Let's come to a time of prayer this evening. Let's put ourselves before the Lord. And friends, don't be satisfied just with prayer. Jesus wasn't satisfied just with prayer. Prayer without the results doesn't do you any good. He went 3 times back until he was satisfied that he had prayed. And then he got up his knees and he says, arise. My betrayer is at hand. Then he was satisfied. Friends, that's what we need, that kind of a prayer. Let's stand. Let's sing that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's come and put ourselves before the Lord at this time. Let's remember Brother Donnie and his church. I just looked yesterday. They've taken all their messages. They blocked them from off their site and so forth because, friends, Brother Donnie's been someone who stood for the truth. He never minced his words. And maybe the season and the time comes where darkness is given authority. You know, I remember him saying it himself once. He says, how many of us are going to have to go into prison before the end? He says, you think that you don't have to. You think we message ministers won't go to prison? He says, are we better than Peter and Paul? Are we better than Jesus himself who was in prison? Friends, let's really pray for them this evening as we pray that God will just extend the time so that the work can be complete.
Sweet hour, prayer, sweet hour. Yeah.
Once more, just before we pray, but let's pray like this assembly. Let's all pray. Take as much time as we want to pray. And then once everybody is finished praying, let's stay on our knees. Let's be quiet before the Lord. And if two or three people want to then pray individually for the needs of the church, for the prayer requests, please feel free at that time, and then we'll close in a word of prayer. It's sometimes a nice thing to have somebody also be able to stand up and represent the rest of the people in prayer. So let's all pray. Take our time. Seek the Lord. And then if anybody wants to pray after that, we'll just be still and wait, and then we'll close in a word of prayer. Does anybody have any requests this evening? Let's pray for Brother Sister Dube. Let's pray for Brother Vlad's dad, like has been mentioned. Brother Maxwell, Denzel needs prayer for his health. Let's pray for him. Brother Andre, Sister Liana flying tomorrow. Any other needs? Brother Vegas? Let's pray for Brother Gilvinus' wife. He was here some years back. We know Brother Gilvinus very well. He's asking for prayer for his wife going for an operation next week. And let's pray for the services coming up. May the Lord's will be done. Let's sing that and let's come to a time of prayer.
Sweet hour, oh prayer, sweet hour. His word.
trust his grace. I'll cast on him my every care and wait for this sweet hour of
prayer. Thank you for grace, Lord. Thank you for mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us an opportunity upon this to come unto the throne of grace. Hallelujah, Lord. Just deal with them. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. Please, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Father, we pray for Brother Dubé. We pray for Sister Dubé, Lord. Father, we think of them looking for a house. Father, you know your thoughts towards them, Lord. Father, you said your thoughts towards us are good. Father, I pray that you just minister them into that channel. We just pray that you'd open that door. We just pray that you'd send the same angel that went before Eliezer, Father, to go and prepare the way. We just pray that you'll do something for them, wonderful Lord. We pray that you'll give them the right place with the right neighbors, Lord. We just pray that you'd give them something, Lord, that, Father, when they'd look back, they'd say, surely this was a gift from the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, let it be so. Father, we thank you for this night that you've given unto us to come and pray. Please give us traveling mercies now as we'd go, Lord. Watch over us, Lord. We think of Friday service. Won't you bless us in your house once again as we'd come, Lord, even as it's been prayed for our brothers, our sisters, our aunts here this night. We do pray for them, Lord. Father, we just pray that you'd put a deep desire inside of their souls, Father, to be in fellowship and communion with your people, to be in fellowship and communion with your house. Father, may you watch over us, Lord, as we'd go. Even as we've been prayed for our children, we thank you, Lord, Father, for them. Lord, continue to deal with them at a young age. Lord, bring them unto yourself. Father, how we just pray that you'd overshadow them, Lord, in this, Father, the closing days of time. Father, praying, Lord, for our brethren, Lord, in Belfast, Brother Billy and the saints, that you'd bless them as they meet this night, Brother Tom and the saints in their prayer meeting, Lord. Praying for Brother Christian, pray for the saints down there, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, to enlarge their borders, Lord, that you'd continue to bless them and lead them and guide them, to establish them, Lord, Father, to raise up a standard in the evening time, Lord. Father, may you encourage our brother down there, Brother Christian, may you strengthen him, Lord, and Father, bless his family, you know, the burdens that he has, you know, the responsibilities with his family, with the church. Father, we do pray, Lord, Father, even as Aaron and her lifted the arms of Moses, Father, we just want to lift him up before thee and ask of thee, Lord, that you'd strengthen him with supernatural strength, that, Father, you'd minister him into that place, that, Lord, he'd have the right balance in his life to rest, to pray, to spend time with his family, and, Father, that your unction would use him in the ministry for your glory, Lord. Father, won't you bless, Father, every request that has been put before thee upon this night, Father, that has been put before the throne of grace. We thank you for Brother Junior, Father, for leading the songs this night. May your hand continue to be upon him. What a blessing that it is. How we do thank you, Lord, for the items that our sisters sing and our brothers, Lord, on a Sunday. Continue to inspire your people, encourage your people to continue, Lord, Father, to be put themselves in your hands, Lord, to be a blessing unto your people. And our brother and sister that go tomorrow on the airplane, we pray that you'll bless them, bless their journey, bless them with their children. Father, bless them when they're there. We pray for Brother Pavel, the saints, that you, Father, just, Lord, may your hand be upon them all. It's been a wonderful time with them, Lord. And until we meet again, Lord, may you watch between us is our desire. Father, guide us now as we commit ourselves into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, saints. Let's sing once more, Brother George. If you have one song, let's close with this song. And by the grace of God, let's meet on Friday, saints. And God bless you richly. Oh, sorry, bro. Yes, bro. I forgot.
The spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this rose.
you will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Never fear. Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Oh, come out.
Come out. Come in. Come up. The Spirit of Elijah turns us back. Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Christ see come. God's voice is calling from heaven. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins. Her sins have reached heaven. God sees her iniquities. The Spirit and the Bride see come. Come out. Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Come out, come in, come up. The Spirit of Elijah turns her back.